behind the rock tonight, then we know that we'll be okay. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless, amen, our gathering. We thank you for allowing us to come into your presence once more, Lord. You've watched over us. You kept us. You've given us a heart and a mind, Lord, to want to serve you. We're grateful, Lord. You give us strength and power to overcome everything the enemy is throwing our way in this hour. We ask, oh God, that you bless our gathering. Bless the saints, oh God, that are still on the way. Lord, let them all arrive safely. We trust, oh God, that you'll also look upon those that won't be able to make it here tonight, that you continue to keep every heart strengthened and encouraged. And Lord, may we all realize that we are survivors. We'll keep going on in spite of. Doesn't matter what we're facing, Lord, we're going to keep pressing the battle, knowing that greater, greater is he that's with us than he that is in the world. So we thank you, God, for being on our side. We ask that you bless, Lord, our time together here tonight as we study your word. Bring revelation to our hearts. We commit our hearts to you, oh God, that you might speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord richly bless you. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. We'll go back to the book of Revelation here. Chapter 16. Praise the Lord. And Revelation 16. And was started last week with the Battle of Armageddon there, and we'll just kind of finish off on that a little bit here. Let's just start here at verse 12 again, as we did last week. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. It's a Trinity doctrine here that we're looking at. And again, the frog is an animal that always looks backwards, doesn't look to the word of God, but it's always looking backwards. It says, three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And, there's another scripture that kind of... Never does the scripture contradict itself, but it speaks of something a little different. And I think, you know, when we read the scripture, we also got one of the most important things I think Brother Branham brought out, especially when reading the church ages. If you can read between the lines and see that there's two different churches that he's speaking to there, one is receiving a blessing, the other is receiving a curse. If you can see that it's the same voice speaking to two different groups, you know, that helps you kind of see a lot more in the word. We look here, this scripture, behold, I come as a thief. But there's another scripture in the Bible that tells us that day won't overtake you as a thief. And I think that's over in Thessalonians. But so if here he's telling us, behold, I come as a thief, well, really, who is he talking to? Because there's another scripture that says that day won't overtake you as a thief. And typically, if a person is not expecting a thief, amen, they can get off with a lot. I mean, a real criminal, amen, that has really scoped out some things, and they know what time you're home, what time you're not home, they know what time certain things happen, in the neighborhood, they've scoped the whole thing out, and they can get in and do some damage, and it might be weeks later before you realize something is missing. You know, it might be some time gone by before you realize something is actually gone. A true thief would be like that. But when a person is really prepared and expecting these things, it's hard for anybody to pull something like that, you know, over on them. But here the scripture's telling us, yeah, I'm coming as a thief, but then we go back and look at Thessalonians, it won't overtake you as a thief. I think God is preparing us right now, you know, so that as we come here, we listen to the word of God, we can see things happening in our world today. It helps us to realize that the rapture is at hand right now. So it's not going to overtake us as a thief. There's many people, though, that's going to work with you every day, going to school with you every day. They have no clue as to how these things are lining up with the scripture and how the Lord Jesus, is his return is upon us even right now. Many of them have no clue. So to them, it's going to be, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. That's us. We're watching. And not only watching, just that's not the only part to it. You got to keep your garments. Watcheth and keepeth his garments. Amen. Don't let your garments get dirty by getting involved in things of this world. Keep your garments clean. Keep it clean. And keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Verse 16 says, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake. This is always judgment when you see this part of scripture. That's judgment striking. Goes all the way back to, I believe, Exodus 19, where God told them to come to the mountain to hear him speak, and it was thunders and lightnings and earthquake, you know, things like that that took place back there. You know, God's voice speaking of judgment. Here come the Ten Commandments through this event. There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. All right, we'll pick up a quote here. That I'd like to just kind of open up with. This is coming out of a message Brother Branham preached, palmer worm, locust, cankerworm, caterpillar, the year is 1953, the date is 0612, and the paragraph is E-36. And if you don't mind, if you would just get your Bibles, turn that to Joel chapter 1, in your Bibles, we'll pull up this quote here, 53-0612, paragraph E-36. Okay. Brother Branham makes this comment. He says, Joel 1, beginning with the fourth verse, I want to read a little scripture. I don't have time for much more in about 15 minutes talk. Then we'll have about 30 minutes of seeing how we can pray for it. Tomorrow night, likewise, the Lord willing. And it begins to read this in Joel chapter 1, verse 4 through 7. And we'll just pick it up here. That which the palm worm hath left, the locust has eaten. That which the locust has left, the cankerworm has eaten. That which the cankerworm has left, the caterpillar has eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Verse 6 says, for a nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree, he hath made it clean bare, and cast it away, the branches thereof are made white. Brother Branham says, God bless his word, and may it do as he said, not return to him void, but accomplish that which is purposed for him. I love the statement that he makes here. During this time of Joel's prophecy here, the church was in a terrible condition. Backslid, just prior to the coming of the Lord the first time. Now, if that was the condition of the church then, coming out of the Lord the first time. The church is in a backslidden condition. I think it's quite possible, and I think it's quite evident that history is repeating itself. The church is in a backslidden condition again today, the church as a whole in a backslidden condition. It says, just prior to the coming of the Lord the first time, and how that the Spirit come upon the prophet, and he foresaw things, and he saw the condition of the Jews, and he saw the condition of the church in his day. Now, you all think about this. Here, Joel, seeing the condition of the church, you know, just before the coming of the Lord. Brother Branham also saw the condition of the church before the coming of the Lord. God gave him a vision, and he saw the church marching to onward Christian soldiers. And, you know, that's the Alpha Church. He saw them marching, onward Christian soldiers. And then all of a sudden, another group came up. And when he saw this group, they were dancing. The sisters were didn't have any clothes on. You know, Brother Branham said they were just covering up certain parts of their body. But they were, I mean, just it was a shame the way he saw them coming. It caused the prophet to go into tears, thinking, Lord, all the preaching that we've done, this is all that we can produce for you as a bride. And he was just really in tears. But then the Lord encouraged him by saying, you know, look again, there's another group coming after that. And this group was the Omega Bride. And you say Alpha and Omega, they looked pretty much exactly the same. The only problem about Omega is that she began to get out of step. And right before he began to yell, get back in step, she kind of caught up with her steps and kept stepping with everybody else. I believe God is doing that to us tonight. If we're out of step with his word, out of step with what he's trying to get from us, amen, he yells, get back in step, get in line, amen, because time is winding up. But he says this, how the spirit come upon this prophet, he foresaw things, he saw the condition of the Jews, he saw the condition of the church in this day. Now, this prophecy, of course, like all other prophecy, has a compound meaning. This is Joel 1, 4 through 7. He says it has a compound meaning. A prophecy sometimes has a natural meaning, then it has a spiritual meaning. Now, of course, the natural meaning of that, even Dr. Schofield in his footnotes says, I'm not a Schofieldite. That means he does not agree with everything Dr. Schofield says. See, I had a conversation with a guy the other day. He was asked me to read in my Bible about the copyrights. You know, and somebody questioned him about copyright. Say every Bible got a different copyright. And I said, no, probably every manufacturer. You know, different people that's right. Say they got a different copyright. Say you're right. And some of them changed the words a little bit here and there. Say yeah, you're right. So that's why God had to send a prophet to restore truth, so that we'd know exactly what we were looking for. Because of all these differences that we have today, God sent a prophet. So I took him right to the church website, and I showed him the seven angels. And I said, this one right here, you know. Say, this was one come in 1909. God used him to restore the truth for this day. Showed him Paul, showed him everybody. I said, just drop a little seed there. I've been praying. Say, Lord, give me an opportunity to witness. And, well, we had a good little talk there. I dropped a lot on them in a few minutes. But, hey, they dropped it on me. I can handle it. You can handle it, too, if you'll see. So, you know, but I mean, sometimes you don't know. I mean, he started dropping some, you know, just asking questions. Say, I'm going to answer them then. You know, you ask them, I'm going to show answer them. But you know, we God had to send a prophet to make sure that we had a clarity when it came to the scripture. That eliminates anybody coming with these, you know, how do we know this man right or whether that man right? Yeah, all of them could be lying. You're right. But God got somebody telling the truth. Amen. We just need to find the one that's telling the truth. So. But here, Brother Branham goes on to say this, says, I'm not a Schofieldite, but however, in his footnotes there, he gives that it meant when the Syrians come over and invade it, that's true. So he's talking about the scripture here in Joel chapter 1, verse 4 through 7, especially verse 7, he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean, bare, and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. We know the fig tree always represented Israel, all right? So here he says this. He says, however, in his footnotes there, he gives that it meant when the Syrians come over and invade it, that's true. But it also had a meaning of the last days towards the Armageddon, the coming up of the last days, the condition of the church spiritually in the last days. Brother Branham brings this scripture and ties it into Armageddon. Also, I went back looking at some of Scofield's notes. Scofield also kind of did a similar thing, tied it into Armageddon. You know, these things leading up to Armageddon. Armageddon, just a tremendous battle. Like I read you some quotes last week where Brother Branham said we had one world war, second world war. We're moving towards a third world war. I also brought to your attention, you know, all these little uprisings that you see. These are real. I mean, Glenn Beck was doing something. He's a Mormon, but he had, you know, he's got a little insight there where he did a little presentation on, you know, on the internet and everything, telling how all these different uprisings were going to happen, and it was just going to put pressure on Israel, more and more pressure on Israel. And, you know, pretty much everything that he was saying has been accurate, everything Glenn Beck was saying. Problem with him is that, you know, they're preparing for this great war, but they're getting 3 years worth of food stored up, trying to, you know, make sure that they live through this particular situation. Brother Random say, even if you try to build a bunker underneath the earth, some of the bombs that they got nowadays will go so deep, you have no chance. So no sense in trying to store up. We shouldn't store up to stay here. We should be storing up to get out of here, storing up spiritually, you know, and that's the problem. I mean, and people can see all these things being fulfilled, but they can't see a promise that looms over them for a rapture. Amen. And that's what I'm looking to. That's my way of escape. Amen. The rapture. So we brought that, and I think I brought to you all some information about Libya, I believe, Gaddafi and all, what he's trying to do there. And I mean, he made a comment. Let's see here. We need to create a problem for the world. This is not a declaration of war. This is a call for peace. A call for peace, but you say create a problem for the world. Something ain't right about that statement, you know. He made a comment here. I just want to catch it. He says, Gaddafi also issued a call to Muslim countries to join forces against Western powers. He said the world was divided into white, denoting the United States, Europe, and their allies, and green for the Muslim world. The white color has decided to get rid of the green color. Gaddafi said these countries should be united against the white color because all of these white countries are the enemies of Islam. Now, this man is known for speaking out against Israel and all these things. Many of the Arab nations, they look to him because he's just so bold and coming out and saying some things. He's trying to stir up something, you know. All the greens, which means all the Muslims, anybody that's Muslim, they ought to come against all the whites. You know, anybody like the United States or Europe and all their allies. I want to bring in this quote here. Brother Branham makes a comment here in the Uniting Time and Sign. And this is the year is 1963. The date is 0818, and the paragraph is 89. 630818, paragraph 89. It says, again, title, The United Time and Sign. It says, notice they're right now uniting. You say, Brother Branham, is that true? They're coming to the battle of Armageddon. Exactly what they will do. See? And they're uniting for that right now. That's why we got the UN and everything we have. The Western world's uniting against the Eastern world. Gaddafi saying the same kind of same things, Western versus Eastern, right? The Western world's uniting against the Eastern world. Communism and so forth, it's all uniting together. The churches are uniting together. Everything seems to be uniting themselves together. We see that. Also, while all this uniting of the nation, these signs, national signs we see out here in the world, earthquakes in diverse places, different things uniting, bringing the world together, bringing the people together, all the churches together, all these things. And while all this uniting been going on, there's another uniting going on. Amen. That's what I want to point to. That's what I want to point to you now. God is uniting his bride. She is coming together from the east and the west and the north and south. There is uniting time, and that's on right now. What is she uniting for? The rapture. Amen. God's getting her ready. Yes, sir, uniting. What is she uniting with? With the word. For all heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. She's uniting herself with thus saith the Lord. Regardless of what any denomination or anybody else says, she's uniting herself. She's getting ready. Why? She is the bride. And the scripture tells us his wife has made herself ready. The bride makes herself ready. God has already laid it out there. We just got to unite with it. Amen. We got to become one with the word. She's united herself with her bridegroom. See, and the bridegroom is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And you know, my little friend, we were talking there, and I got somehow talking about, let us make man in our own image. You see, that's a question right there. I know that'll go, that's a long conversation. Say, who was he talking to? I said, if you want to know who he's talking to, I can share it with you. Let us make man. What he was talking to, right here in the scripture, John 1:1. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the us. It was the logos that he was talking to at the beginning. You know, God gave birth to his own self. As a spirit, he knew that we couldn't identify with him. But he had to come forth in a light so that we can identify that light as the presence of Almighty God. You know, so I said, we can talk about it. You know, whenever you're ready to talk about it, we can. Thank God, God gave us some answers. You know, people out there with questions, God has revealed his word. We got answers. You know, now whether they want to receive it or not, that's up to them. But we do have answers to these questions. Amen. Listen, the church and the bride, he told me he got to come see me at work. I said, well, we'll sure be looking forward to it. You know, sure look forward to it. We can. I love talking about the word of God. And the church and the bride and the word is becoming so one until the very word itself is working out the work of the bridegroom. Amen. You see it uniting, not no more join the church, not no more of this, but flee from everything and tie to Jesus Christ. See, it's the uniting time. God uniting his bride together, bringing it back just exactly, uniting the words of his promise. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, it says, this fifth verse, the saints that are asleep in the dust of the earth will waken, and then we will unite with them, the living ones, and the ones that's been dead will unite before we even get up there. Because the bride will be complete when she gets there. The ones that's living, that's uniting themselves with the word, and those that are gone already did that. And it all comes together, make one great union of the uniting before going up there. Amen. Amen. So there's the uniting taking place. As they're uniting, we're also uniting. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's I got maybe a couple more quotes, maybe one more on Armageddon, and then I want to kind of shift gears and go into this thief in the night. Victory Day, 1963, 0421, paragraph 126. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham says this, says, we have had many great battles, spiritual battles, many great D-Days that the church has had. I mean, the church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the organization system now. I'm talking about the body of Christ. The body of believers down through the ages has had many great V-Days. We talk about we've had several wars, the wars and rumors of wars and V-Days and V-Days and V-Days. And it'll finally wind up into the great battle of Armageddon. That'll be the last of it. When she comes to the battle of Armageddon, that'll settle the whole thing. Just before the great millennium, Armageddon is to clean off the earth. She repurifies herself with this atomic blowing and the volcanic ash and things sinks this soaked blood of men and upon the earth and sin and crime. She sinks beneath the earth and the volcanic braves out again and renews and cleans the earth for the great millennium. He cleans his church during that time for people to live here. Amen. I say like that, yes sir. there's coming a time when it will be great. So Armageddon coming just to kind of purge the earth. Church, and if they drop an atomic bomb, that's going to just create some tremendous issues here, you know, in our earth. But man don't even realize what they're doing. They're destroying them on themselves, their own selves, with the weapons that they're using. But God has used that all for his glory, because he promised a new heaven and a new earth. You know, so it's just purging all the sin, purging everything. You know, we look forward to it. Whatever the Lord has in store, as long as I'm on the other side, amen, watching on the other side of the banister of time, just watching what's going on, I'm all right. Amen. And like you just said, this quote I just read here previously, you know, we meet our loved ones that have gone on before us. We meet them in the air, and it's like a reunion taking place there. And what happens is that God allows you to meet because you're wondering, did so-and-so make it? Did so-and-so make it? Well, you have those questions answered before you even get to the other side. You already have them answered. And I'm going to tell you something. If you really want to see your loved ones there, apply the same faith that you have for yourself to your loved ones. If you believe that you're going to make it, then, Lord, the same faith that I got to say, I'm going to make it. My children gonna make it. My family gonna make it. Whatever, apply the same faith. God will have them there. You know, some kind of way they're gonna come to a place of repentance. I'm not saying that they're gonna get there just because you repented, but God will bring them to a place of repentance. Whatever it takes, amen. Whatever it takes. All right, let's pick up just a few quotes here about the thief in the night. Oh my. Oh no. Okay, wait, one more quote on the Battle of Armageddon. Ashamed is the message. 1965, July 11th, 07/11, paragraph is 223. 1965, 07/11, paragraph 223. Brother Branham says this: don't be ashamed of him and this generation. Sinful, perplex, the last generation that will ever be on the earth. Man, ain't that some? That you're a part of a very special group. The last generation that'll ever be on the earth. This sinful, adulterous, and full of all putrefied sores. All everything that's been decent has become indecent. National politics, filth, nations are broke up. And look at what he said here. Way back in the jungles of Africa, on safari hunters, they had to take high-powered radios to hear Elvis Presley, Pat Boone, and them guys with that rock and roll and twist. And the natives, trying to see them act alone, jerking their head and acting like that, the natives stood and looked at them. But you see, they're not Americans like Pat Boone and Elvis Presley and Ricky Nelson and them guys are. They're not Judases of that type, but see, it's a spirit, and the spirit is not only in America. It has spread itself out over the world to bring them to the Battle of Armageddon. Now, how did Brother Branham put Elvis Presley's music, Pat Boone, and all these other guys, how did he bring them into leading people to a battle of Armageddon? Now, you know, the brother made a comment. I'm going to just share this with y'all real quick. I ain't going to make a doctrine out of it. But Brother Branham made a comment. He says, he said he predicted. He didn't say he prophesied, but he said he predicted that the rapture would take place for the bride, you know, by 1977. He said he could not see it going past that. You know, he felt that it would really come to an end by 1977. Well, we know it didn't, you know, but thank God it was not a thus saith the Lord. It was only a prediction. And but my brother was sharing this with me just, you know, recently, and I thought it was really, really profound. He says, even though the rapture didn't take place in 77, something else big happened. And it says, the same way that Jesus went off the scene, Judas went off the scene. That was his, like the twin spirit, you know, for Jesus in that day. Well, Brother Branham and his ministry and the impact that it had around the world. You know, I mean, he had a ministry that had an impact around the world. God really used his ministry. He had another spirit combating him in this day, in his day. Well, the spirit that combated him was the spirit of Elvis Presley. See? Because Elvis Presley's music, it still has an effect on people. All right? Same way that the message still has an effect on us some years later. Elvis Presley, and if you think, I mean, you look at it, I don't know how many other singers came up during that time. Elvis Presley came out of the church, right? He started religious. A lot of the man's moves were from watching people shouting in church. That's where he got his moves from. And here he come, and he presented that out there to the carnal world. And even this day, they won't let Elvis die. You think about it. Every time you turn around, how many years has it been that this man has left Earth, but they still got guys want to look like Elvis, act like Elvis, sing like Elvis, dress like, they will not let that man's spirit die. It still has an effect today. And, you know, there's a lot of other comparisons there, you know. Praise the Lord. You know. God did take Brother Branham on home. We're not trying to be like Brother Branham, right? We're trying to be like Jesus Christ. In the same way people following Elvis, you got some people trying to follow Brother Branham in the same way. But that's not what God intended to be like. Amen. See? So, but the thing of it is you know, that spirit, the spirit didn't die. It's still there. I mean, and you see people still trying to imitate this guy Elvis. That was the thing that Brother Branham had to combat in his day, Elvis Presley. And that's why, in this quote, he just said, they're not Judases. He's calling Elvis just like Judas. They say Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. Elvis sold out for a fleet of Cadillacs. Amen. All right. So he says, and what he's saying here is that this music, the music, is leading them to the Battle of Armageddon. The music. Now, today, if he was living, it might not be Elvis Presley, because not too many people turn on the radio to listen to Elvis Presley. But what type of music are we listening to? That music could be leading us towards some destruction here. Amen. Praise the Lord. You got to catch what a prophet is trying to tell you. That way it won't overtake you as a thief. Amen. They're not Judas of that type, but it's a spirit, and the spirit is not only in America, it spread itself out over the world to bring them to the Battle of Armageddon. They act like that whether they are, whatever nation they come from, Africa, India, whatever it is, that vulgar and stuff has spread all over the earth by just one man starting it. The vulgar has spread all over the earth by just one man starting it. And it's worse today. It used to be my radio and television and all that. It used to be censored. People just couldn't get on there and just say anything. You know, it was censored. Now everything is uncensored. You have access to anything and everything. It's just at your fingertips. It used to be you had to pay for certain channels to get, certain things on television. Not anymore. The internet got it readily available for you without you having to pay anything. Church, it's the world that we live in is vulgar. It's sick. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's got to be our prayer. All right, let's pick up. I didn't finish that. I didn't finish that quote there. The next paragraph says, so has the gospel and the power of Almighty God has spread around the world. And the separation time is now taking place when God is calling the bride. And the devil is calling a church. Let me be part of the bride. Amen. That's my prayer. All right, let's pick up just a couple more quotes, and then we'll be done with this amen section. This is out of the message, Who Is This? Preached 1959. The date is 510E. 510E for the evening. And the paragraph is E-16, 590510E. And the paragraph is E-16. Who is this? Brother Branham says, then as they waited for something to happen, it was too bad that many of those at the Passover never got to see him. Yet they know something was going to happen, but yet they didn't get to see him. So will it be at the coming of the Lord. There's many restless people today that knows that something is fixing to happen, but they'll never see him, for he will come in the stillness of the midnight to catch away that little church that's longing and waiting and expecting to see him. That's the ones he will come and catch away. Many of the world who is living on the glamours and feasting their souls upon the things of the world will never know what happened until the church is gone into glory. For he will come as a thief in the night and catch them away, so we can see we're back again to the same place. And church, I agree. Here the prophets tell us, so many people probably look and they think, man, something happened. I know something happened. Every day they wake right back up, go right back out into those simple lifestyles, just can't break the habits that they have on their lives. But here there's a people that just kind of hid away, just waiting for the coming of the Lord. Church, and I'm glad to be a part of that group. And I'm trying to be like Rahab. Get everybody I can. All my relatives, get them in the house. You know, because there'll be protection here in the house. You out on the streets, no protection. But in the house, amen, everything you need is there before the destruction comes. Let's read this last quote out of Perseverance. This is 1963, August the 2nd, 0802. Paragraph is 41. It says, at least every day across the world, there's as many as 500 people missing. What if there's 1,000? They would say, oh, well, this woman, she just run off with somebody. This preacher, he took some other man's wife and gone. He's gone to glory and the rapture. They won't know it. They'll just be making up lies. That's all. They won't know it. Did not he say he would come as a thief in the night? See, you say, well, if he comes, I'll see him. No. No. Just those that's going to see him is going to see him at that time. See, everybody not going to see him. Just those that's going to see him is going to see him at that time. I think there's one gentleman, famous preacher nowadays. He wrote a book, and in the book he talked about the coming of the Lord and how great trumpets will be blown, red carpet roll out the sky. Here come Jesus. People at the baseball game and just stop playing baseball and looking up in the air and like, oh, Jesus is coming. Ain't gonna happen like that. He that's holy, gonna be holy still. He that's filthy, gonna be filthy still. He that's righteous, gonna be righteous still. They're gonna go right on doing whatever it was that they was doing. Whatever it was they're doing. Brother Branham also said, you know, said the rapture could happen between 6 and 9. Now why 6 and 9? Most people are home during those hours. If you're home, if you're not home, then you might be on the way to work. You really ain't with nobody. Not too many people, right? But if you're at home, you know, during those hours, let's say if it happened in our time zone, we don't know what time zone it is, but if it happened in our time between 6 and 9, that's the stillness where, you know, anybody come up with it, oh yeah, they got an accident, we never seen them. They got abducted on their way, I mean, we never seen them. I mean, they'll come up with anything, see. So church, I mean, it's gonna be like a thief in the night. And like I told you, when a thief really come, you take something away, it take a while for you to realize that they're gone. I think about the people on my job. I'm in Belgrade so much that they don't see me. I went to the office last week, and one guy said, everybody thought you was in Belgrade. Well, why? Why are they thinking I'm in Belgrade? I told them I was coming to the office today. Well, everybody over there think you're in Belgrade. I don't know why, you know. But the only way they can tell whether I'm in the office or not, my light go on, or the light is off. So if my light off, they might think he's just in Belgrade. No, I'm in the rapture. I'm in the rapture. I left Belgrade a long time ago. And the people in Belgrade think I'm in West Palm Beach. I'm in heaven. You know, so that's what I'm looking for, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's keep reading this. You say, well, if he comes, I'll see him. No, just those that's going to see him is going to see him at that time. See, just like that light, like John stood there and saw that, the Spirit of God like a light, dove coming down and going upon him, a voice saying, this is my beloved son. Nobody heard it or saw it but John, see? And when that rapture takes place, it will be a change. The first thing you know, that change, then we're caught into them and gone away, and the sleeping virgin, it moves right out, right on just the same, and thinking everything is going fine. And they're already gone, it's already happened, and you knew it not. I don't say it'll be like that. Remember, I'm not saying the Lord tells me it'll be that way, but I believe it's so close at hand, it's possible. I don't want to take any chance. I want to be ready. I want everything ready. I don't want the weight laid aside. However, how it comes, probably the way we got it, all drawn out, would be different. It always is than what we have planned it, than what we have it planned. His first coming was that way, and his second coming would probably be the same way, same thing. And what he's telling us there, there are things in our life, church, the scriptures say, lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. There are some things in our life, they are not sins. They're truly not sins, but they become weights to us. All right, and you got to be able to recognize what is a weight. What things hold you down? What things hold you back? What things stop you from really being able to give God your all? See, and we got to find what those weights are, and it's up to us to lay them aside. Lay aside every sin and weight. Now, there are some things in our life that is straight up sin, and God is calling for us to lay it aside. Not, Lord, deliver me. No. When you're ready to get delivered, you're going to give that thing up. Amen. You're going to run for your life, and you're going to give that thing up when you're truly ready to be delivered. Amen. Lay aside every sin and weight that so easily besets us. Brother Branham had the vision. He was talking about the first pull and the second pull and how he was explaining, all these different pulls to different people. And the angel told him, don't do that. Don't explain it. Don't explain these pulls in your ministry because you're going to end up with a bunch of impersonators. And that's exactly what happened. He ended up with a lot of people on the field impersonating his ministry. It says, but when it comes to this third pull, don't explain it at all. The third pull was the opening of the word. They don't explain that at all. And in the vision, he had, fishing, and he pulled that line in, and when he pulled it in, had that little old itty-bitty fish on him, say his line got all tangled up. Say the angel that was standing behind him come walk in front of him and say, don't get your lines tangled up in times like these. Don't get your line tangled up in times like these. Church, and I think that's something that all of us can kind of take warning, from the prophet. Now is not a time to get our lines tangled up. Now is not a time. I mean, it's so much is happening around us, and it's happening swiftly. Church, we're privileged people. Every last one of us. If you all go through your life and look back, go place yourself back in, and those that have left high school or those that are still in school or whatever in college. Look around the room. Look around and see how many people are there that have the knowledge that you have the understanding that you have. How many people from the days that you were coming up that man, God could have chose this person. They were sitting right next to me. We used to do this together. God could have called them out and showed them this. God didn't choose none of them. He chose you. We have a very, very special place in God's heart. Church, we ought to be thanking God daily for revealing himself to us in such a way. He could have chose anybody. Think about the city that you come from. God could have picked anybody in that city, but he chose you. I want to show you this. He could have showed it to anybody. And how many people probably would have appreciated it? Right? Especially those that have already gone on to be with the Lord. How many would have probably appreciated being able to see something like this? Never had the opportunity. Church, let's not blow it. Amen. Don't get your lives tangled up in times like these. What Brother Brandon said, be sincere. Amen. In your approach to God. He is coming. like a thief in the night for those that are not looking for it. But those of us that are on the lookout, he won't overtake us as a thief. Amen. He won't overtake us as a thief. Thank the Lord for our study here in Revelation chapter 16. Pray that the Lord will just help us next week. We'll get started in Revelation chapter 17. Amen. And we'll just kind of keep going until we come to an end. But we thank God for these truths that are being brought to our hearts through this study. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth that is revealed to us, Lord. And we're certainly a privileged people to be able to sit, Lord, and hear these truths, Lord, brought to our hearts. Help us, God, Lord, not to make light of it, but to, Lord, walk in all sincerity with it, Lord, knowing, oh God, that it's only by grace that we can come into this place. It's only because you've watched over us, Lord, from the day that we were born, even to this day. You have had your hand on every one of our lives, Lord, wanting to make sure that you have some people on the earth that would follow and believe, Lord, what your prophet said. What would be the purpose of sending them, Lord, if nobody would hear? But, Lord, you knew somebody would hear and someone would take heed to what was being shared, and help us to be those people, Lord, to take heed. We don't want to just have head knowledge, but, Lord, we want this to really ring through the bottom of our souls, that we would live it, Lord, and express it daily, Father, to this dying generation. And, Lord, remembering that there are some that have come through the tribulation, Lord, that sea of glass mingled with blood, they'll get there because we did not do our part in reaching them. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of opportunities we'll have to share the love of Jesus, the revelation of the word, to somebody else that's in dire need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.